appreciate again that we can gather around the word tonight.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Again, man, it's the last night. A lot of times people will say, I can't believe it's already over. And then some people say, I'm glad it's over. Amen. So, if you go into the Bible tonight with me, please, for a few moments, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke in chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. So now, if I have preached this before, don't stop me. Amen. We will see. You did not have it recorded last night, but Miss Bev said that I preached that one back in 23. 22. And I don't have any record of 22 in my notes. So you might have had your other Bible. Did you look at your other Bible?
Well, so anything like 20 on, I have this
one. Oh, really? Oh, Miss Bell, you must have wrote the wrong date. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. She's got to be right. Let me tell you why. Because she's preparing my meals this week. And I'm still alive. So she's doing a good job. Amen. So, yeah. Well, we're in the book of Luke in chapter 15 this evening with me, if you would, for a few moments. A very, very, very familiar story to you that we've read in Scripture probably many, many times about the prodigal son. And I want to look at this evening for a few moments with you. I get to thinking about this. I had a friend that preaches a message on this text, and his points are this. He says he dropped a pail, he jumped the rail, he hit the trail, and he did prevail. Amen. That'll preach. It's pretty good. But I can't use his outline because he preaches all over the place. Everybody knows I'd use his outline. So I got my own outline, amen. And it don't rhyme like that, but it's an outline. So just stick with me this evening for a few moments, if you would. And let me just make a few statements to you before I begin. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we should not be, amen. You ever find yourself there where you should not be? We made a decision to do something that we thought was better, or we made a choice to do something we knew that was wrong. And I don't know if you've ever made choices like that, but I have. No, I should not have done it, but I did it anyway. And boy, that's a sad place to be for a born-again believer, amen. It could be as simple as wrong thoughts, bitter feelings, anger, jealousy, hatred. Not all sin is drug addiction. Not all sin is drunkenness. Not all sin is murder. Not all sin is sexual impurity. No matter what sin it is, it needs to be confessed to God. Not only do we need to confess the sin we participate in, but we need to confess the sin we continue to, listen to this one, think about. What we continue to think about, which dwells in our mind continually over and over and over again. Remember what 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just, what? To forgive us our sins and what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me ask you a question. Do we believe the Bible is true? Amen. Well then guess what? We can lay on that verse, we can use that verse, we can hang our hat on that verse if we would just confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said one time, well, I was preaching, I said, I'm glad that God is not just a God of, and don't amen this until you hear me all the way out. But God is not just a God of first chances. He's a God of a second chance. He's a God of a third chance. He's a God of a fourth chance. But a fellow came up to me afterwards. He said, Mike, you ever think about this way? Excuse me, my ear pops on me tonight. I'm a little dehydrated. So I get it. I told preachers, really the worst thing in the world. I get dehydrated. My ear shuts off. And I go like this, and it comes back up. I go, you got yours there, don't you? Keep from dehydrating. Yeah. Yeah, I know my preaching makes you sweat, and that's what happens. You dehydrate after. So, anyway, he told me after I made this statement, he comes to me and he said, Mike, he says, he's always the God of the first chance. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he says, when he forgives you, he forgets it. And he puts it behind his back. He puts it as far as the east is from the west, puts it in deep the sea. So the next time you sin, does he ever bring that up and say, well, man, you've done this before. Why don't you get it straightened out? No, he never does he? He's a God of the first chance, God of the first chance, God of the first chance, God of the first chance. And we need to realize that. We need to come to Him and confess our sins. And I'll just show a few things. I'm going to stay right in this text this evening, I hope. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to go all over the place tonight, because I want to look at a couple thoughts that I have in this. The Bible says in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. Let me just stop there for a little bit. I don't know when you remember growing up, but I remember growing up and I couldn't wait until I got older. I couldn't wait until I could get this, or I couldn't wait until I get... Now, I didn't have an inheritance because my dad died when I was two. My grandfather left every one of the grandchildren in his will. Every one of us got a dollar bill from our grandfather. Every one. And my grandfather was not a rich man. He owned a farm up on top of a mountain in West Virginia, and he worked hard his whole life, you know. But he left us all $1. But if he was going to leave each one of us $1,000 back when I was 15 years old, I would have thought, well, why can't I get it now? And that's what this young man was thinking. He wants to get out. He wants to breathe. He don't want to be under his father's rule anymore. Well, you know, we got Christians the same way. Christians don't want to be under God's rule. They want it right now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to trust God. They want to live their life to the fullest. They think to the fullest that they can live. I know so many that are young that have passed or committed themselves to the things of God and even said that they have been called to preach, and yet they're running wild right now. And they look like they're running wild. And if you met them and talked to them, you wouldn't know they were born again believers saved by the grace of God. And I know one specifically that is like that, and he does know Christ, but man, he is not living for the Lord. He's on the run. So here with this man, this young man, he wanted freedom. That's the first point. He wanted freedom. I think we all want freedom. When I was growing up, I couldn't wait to be a teenager, and I don't know why, but just couldn't wait to be 13. When I was 13, I couldn't wait to be 16. When I was 16, I couldn't wait to be 18. And when I was 18, I couldn't wait to get out of prison, amen? Just saying. So I wanted freedom then, amen? But this young man wanted his freedom. And so he asked his father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And it just, you don't see that here, you don't see the father arguing with him. I'm wondering, sometimes the Holy Spirit works in our heart, and then we just turn our back on God, and it's like there's no argument. It's more like, go your way, go ahead. It's not going to work. It's not going to last. Amen. So you see here, the Bible says, and he divided unto them his living. That would be them. That would be his older son and his younger son. Divided unto them. Not just the one. But he told the older son what he's getting, and he gave the younger son what he was getting. No argument from the father. I don't know what he saw in this young man. Maybe he saw some rebelliousness. Maybe he saw some things that he knew was going to move him in that direction. And he said, all right, you can have it. I'm going to let it go. But this young man wanted his freedom. And then number two, the second thought I have in this text is this. Not only did he want his freedom, but in verse 13 it says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Well, now he's getting what he wanted. He wanted his freedom. He's got his freedom. But you look at this, it says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He wanted freedom, and he wasted his finances. And I don't know, man, I can remember, Pastor, as a young man that quit school, got a job, and I'd get a paycheck, and it'd be gone 15, 20 minutes, just like that quick. I still live in a home, so I didn't have any bills to worry about. You know, still living in my mother's house. She paid for the food. She paid the rent. She did all those things. So, well, my money went bang, 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 bang. And usually it went for alcohol and then later on for drugs. That quick. I mean, as soon as you got it, it's gone in a heartbeat. You waste what you have. Now, let me say, don't waste what God has given to you. Don't waste your eternal life on trivial things here. Don't waste your eternal life on not talking to people about Jesus Christ. Don't waste your eternal life in spending your days, and then maybe you get like where I have come to the last 3 years, Pastor, looking back on 51 years now of salvation, and I think, how much more I could have done for Christ. But I wasted it. I wasted it. There's things in my, Pastor, I wasted time where I should have been witnessing, where I could have been witnessing, where I could have been more of a help to individuals. And you might look at me and you might say, you don't look like you, you don't know me. I'm telling you, I know me. Amen. And I don't want that anymore. I don't want to waste that time. I don't want to waste that stuff. And don't waste your time on something that does not matter. And that's where the Christian comes to sometimes. We get so wrapped up in our world, so wrapped up in our jobs, so sometimes so wrapped up in our retirement, you know, and doing some other things for other individuals that we have a tendency to leave the Lord. Oh, Mike, I go to church on Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I go when the doors are open. I come there every night to a revival meeting. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm just making a common statement here. But because of that, we think that we're okay with God. But we still waste time. So he says here, is verse 13 again, and not many days after the young son had gathered together, younger son had gathered together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That means that it was frivolous. That means he just everything that he saw, that he thought, that he wanted, he spent his money on. I'm wondering how much of that money was spent on people that he tried to win or influence to be friends. And then I get to look at it as I'm thinking, what happened to his friends? He ran out of money. Amen. And that happens sometimes. I've seen people come to churches, and when the church can't help them financially, they leave the church. But as long as the church is helping them, they'll stay at the church. They'll stay and they will take what they can get. And I can understand some of that, but they're wasting everything else. And they're wasting their money. They're wasting their time. We had a fellow at our church and his wife that our church helped over and over and over and over again. And their house was falling apart, and one of our guys went over and put a new floor in the house. And then they came to Pastor and said, we need a new toilet. And the man who was working on the house said, they don't need a toilet, Pastor. He said, I can fix the one they have. And Pastor said, we're not going to buy you a toilet. They got mad because we didn't buy them a toilet for their house, and they left the church. Well, why? Because they had been wasting their money on other things. That is sad. It's a sad state for a person to be. Wanted freedom, wasted their finances, and then it says, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He was out of money, and there was no food for him to get. No food. So we see that he wanted freedom, we see that he wasted his finances, and we see that he was wanting in famine. He was desiring something that was not there at all. And he began to be in want, the Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen. He was wanting for family. Have you ever been to that place? Maybe not, I don't know, in your life, but when my wife and I first got married, there were times we could buy a 50-pound bag of potatoes for $2. They called seconds. So there were eyes in them, and there were stems coming off some of them, and we'd have to get them. We'd cut all that up, and my wife would boil up a big pot of potatoes, and then she'd make a little bit of gravy with it. And then we would buy, or she'd mash some potatoes, but we'd buy about a pound and a half or 2 pounds of hamburger. Back then, you get hamburger for about 59 or 69 cents a pound, sometimes less than that. And so then she'd make that hamburger gravy up, and we put over the potatoes, and that would be on Monday, and then on a Tuesday we would heat that back up again. And she would we had a little store in our area that she would go down to once a week when we had the money, and she'd buy 10 cans of peas for a dollar, or 10 cans of corn for a dollar, or 10 cans of green beans. Remember those days, Bev? 10 cans of green beans for a dollar. And, you know, I don't know how many of you others remember those, but that we did that all the time. We could get 10 pot pies for a dollar sometimes, brother. And then I could suck down them pot pies. They weren't very big. I could eat four or five of them back then, amen. So 50 cents for a meal for me was pretty good. that we would, she'd make that mashed potatoes or potatoes, and she'd make that gravy. We'd pour that gravy over, and by the end of the week, we're eating potatoes with gravy and no hamburger in it. Amen. That's just, we wanted, and it wasn't that we wanted because we didn't make money or because we wasted money. It's that we wanted because we didn't have money. Amen. And so, you know, there's a possibility that could be in somebody's life where you get to want. But this individual here is wanting because he wasted his finances. Wasted his finances. I remember buying cars when I first married for $75, and they were rust buckets. Amen. I mean, they were in terrible shape. And, I mean, you wouldn't want some of the things my wife and I drove. We'd lived on a dirt road. We'd have dust coming up in the car because of the holes in the floorboards, you know. I felt like Fred Flintstone. I could probably put my feet out and stop the car. I'm not kidding you. It was something else. And my wife put up with that and put up with that and put up with that. And I tried to get another one, and she put up with that and put up with that and put up with that. And, you know, we finally started getting some nice-looking vehicles. But I found out after a while that I was wanting again because they were rusting out. Amen. Now she has a vehicle. I got to get another one for her because hers is rusting out. It don't bother me because I don't drive it. Amen. I got my 2015 Town and Country. Here's a 2010. Mine's got 164,000. Hers got 294,000 on it. Amen. It's wore out. But it praise the Lord. She's driving. I'm all right. She lives in town. She's fine, you know. She can walk home. If it breaks down, it's only 4 miles. She'd be all right. Amen. That's how I look. Yeah, right. You know better than that, don't you? How many of you know I'm in trouble? She heard me make that statement. Amen. If she was here and I made that statement, she'd probably come over and smack me in the head and say, "Straighten up, boy." Amen. So it says in the Bible again, as we look into this, he's wanting in famine. Then he worked in fields, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Now, I have a feeling, Pastor, that this is not a Gentile, this young man. This young man, I believe, as we study Scripture, I believe this man is Jewish. Can you imagine feeding pigs when you're raised how vile they are and that you're not allowed to eat them and yet you're in there feeding? How many of you have ever worked on a pig farm? Let me tell you about a pig farm. When I was in prison, I worked on a prison farm. And we had steer, and we had milk cows. We had a homogenizing system, and we could get all the milk we wanted. And if you worked in the fields like I worked, sometimes we come in at night and be almost dark, and our farm supervisor, he would go in for the men that worked late that night. Everybody else maybe had spaghetti for supper. He'd fix us steaks, man. He'd come in, he'd get the cook out there and say, "Get some steaks out of that freezer, feed these men right." They worked hard all day. Sometimes we put in 12, 16 hours, you know. And then we had the steers, we had the, I don't know how many steer we had. Boy, I tell you, that was a mess cleaning them pens up. But then we had a hog lot. And that hog lot in the middle of the summer, let me tell you, to clean that. And then you ate lunch and you had to go out and clean it. I tell you, more lunch was on the ground for some of them guys. It didn't bother me. I grew up around them kind of animals sometimes, you know, working on farms as a kid. But boy, some of the guys that came out of Cleveland, Ohio, wow. I wish you could have seen them. Man, they was ankle deep, and that hog lot was nasty, nasty, nasty. Man, here he is. It don't say how many hogs are in that lot. I don't think it was just a few. I don't think it was just one or two. I think it was probably full of nasty smelling rotten hogs. He's reduced himself from being under the Father's care to coming into a hog lot. In fact, maybe if you're taking notes, you would write this down: living in a hog lot. Living in a hog lot. We have many Christians today that are saved by the very grace of God, and they're living in a hog lot. They're living in a, you say, Mike, they come to church. I know, I understand. But they're living in a hog lot spiritually in their life. And they're in the filth of this world. I hope it's not anybody in here, but in the filth of this world, and they're allowing that filth of this world to affect them. Tell me, he's in this hog lot working. Tell me this is not affecting him. Tell me this is not bothering him. Tell him, man, I tell you what, is spiritually, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you've ever been in a hog lot, because I'd have to put up two. As a preacher, I'd have to put up two. As a Christian, I'd have to put up, but I don't have a third one, so two, amen. I'm just saying, when I was first saved, I mean, I know what it was like in my life. And I know what drew me away so easy, Pastor, drew me away so easy from the concentration of the Lord in my mind. And I've asked God so many times to forgive me and to help me remove thoughts from my mind, from my past. Boy, he has been so good about that. I sure thank him for that. But I want to tell you, if I'm not careful and stay in his word and stay in prayer, I'd be right back in that spiritual hog lot. It would not take much for me to get there. By the way, it won't take much for you either to get there. So we see here, he's working in the fields. And then I wrote down in verse 16, Bible says again, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He would fain have filled his belly. I think that means that when he was hungry, he ate. Not that he was just thinking about a pastor. He was working at a hog lot. No man would give him anything. What do you think he's going to eat? Well, that piece of corn don't look too bad, you know. Oh boy, I tell you, look, there's a chunk of bread and a little bit of gravy on it before it gets to the hog lot, before it gets dumped in, you know. I don't know. I'm just saying, I have the idea here that he worked in that lot for a while. Nobody gave him anything. He was out of money. He had to eat something. I mean, it's a fain that he, the swine did eat. He would eat with the husk, or fain his belly with the husk, filled it with husk of the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. All those money he spent on all those people around him, and with all those businesses he wasted his money on. I can just see people walking by that hog lot and look at them and say, what happened to you? What happened to you? Don't be a Christian where somebody walks by and looks at you and says, what happened to you? Don't be a Christian when your neighbor comes out and see. Don't be a Christian that your neighbor could look at later on and say, yeah, you used to go to church. What happened to you? Don't be a Christian that when something happens in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, so the unbeliever can look at you and say, I thought you had faith. What happened to you? Man, I can just see him, Pastor. And walking by this hog lot, looking at this young man out there in this hog lot, and say, wow, what happened? What happened to you? If a Christian asked you that, or if a person asked you that, what would your response be to them? Amen? I've had people tell me sometimes about people they've been witnessing to. I've had somebody make this statement one time. I'm not witnessing to them anymore. I had another guy make this statement to me one day because of something that had been going on. He'd been praying for somebody for years and years and years. He said, I stopped praying for him. I'm not praying for him anymore. I'm done praying for him. And I said, that ain't right. My question is this. What happened to you? Amen. To him, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? I see pastors, I see preachers, you know, as many as I do probably, that have left the ministry, gone off the deep end, gone off to somewhere, and they were at one time, and I won't, I'll be careful with this, but they were godly men, men we looked up to. Men we saw, men we thought, man, they have everything together. And now you walk by and you would say, what happened to you? So sad. Don't become a what happened to you Christian. Don't let it happen in your life. Don't become that way. So the Bible says he worked in the fields. The Bible says he wallowed with the hogs. Amen. How many of you seen a midnight county fair? You ever been to the barns when they're judging the animals and they're they'll get the pigs, they'll wash them all up, and they'll be nice and pink, and they'll clean them all up. They bring that pig into the arena, and then pretty soon they get a blue ribbon. And most of the people don't understand when they eat that blue ribbon, that pig is going to bring more money than the rest of them, amen. And I tell you what, and I don't see something pretty and pink there. I see pork chops, I see ham, I see hog ribs. I mean, I see hog jaw, I see head cheese. I mean, I see all that good stuff. Amen. You ever had hog jaws? Wow. Whoa, come on, you're missing something. Hog jaws and greens, brother. That would go good with your Swiss chard. Amen. Put some hog fat in there. Put a little mustard on top of that. Boy, that'd be good. I would eat some of your Swiss chard then, brother. Sister, when I come back again, fix that with some fat back in there, and I'll eat it with them. Amen. But he wallowed with the hogs. And then I wrote down verse 17 to 19, because to me, this is very interesting. Bible says that when he came to himself, what did it take for him to come to himself? How long? That's what I'm wondering. How long did it take for him to come to himself? Was it the first time maybe? I know it doesn't say this in the Bible, but was it the first time or maybe somebody said, what happened to you? Or the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time? Or was it when he just got so sick of living in the slop that he couldn't stand himself, the stink, the stench? Or was it when they were feeding the pigs were eating better than him? You know, pigs eat pretty good. I saw a thing where a guy said, when my daughter brings a boyfriend home, he says, this guy lives on a farm, he says, I take him out to the hog lot standing there, we'll be talking for a little bit. And he said, you won't believe how fast some animals can eat something. Then he turns around, walks back to the house with the guy. Otherwise, leave my daughter alone, or that's where you're going to be. So the same guy said about his daughter. He says, I love my daughters, and he said, so my thought is this: if you mess with them and hurt them, he says, I'll shoot you and bury you. They said, no, just kidding. He said, that's the easy part, burying them. But here, this young man, he remembers. That's the next thought. He remembers. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now, yeah, I get to thinking here. I'm wondering how much weight this young man lost during this time. I'm thinking of a scrawny little individual, you know. I've never been scrawny myself, amen. I don't know if you have been, but not me. He said, I'll arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against thee, against heaven and before thee. Now, he remembers what his father had. He remembers how good he had it. Amen. Usually when kids leave the home, it don't take them long to realize all that they had when they were at home, because now they don't have what they had. Amen. And they would like to have everything right away, and sometimes it gets them in debt big time, and sometimes it hurts them because they're not willing to wait like the parents waited. Amen. I've seen that in my own family. And my wife and I, man, we struggled when we were first married. And we had we got used furniture from people we knew. I had somebody give me a television set one time, a color television set. It started to go out. I go smack it on the top of that set and then come back on. Amen. I watched TV like that for a long time. Probably got up if I was watching the Bowery Boys. I mean, I like the Bowery Boys. They were crazy. Amen. And you get about four or five times in an hour, I'd have to get banging at the TV, banging at the TV, banging at the TV. I finally got to the point where I put a little chair in front of the TV to watch that, you know, where I could just reach up and bang it, and I had to stand up, amen. Well, as you look here again, he remembered what his father had. He remembered the servants that his father had. that were eating better than he was eating now. Man, he remembered. He remembered he sinned against God because he went against the will of God. Amen. And he went, according to this thought, he went against the will of his father. But his father gave in to him. He let him do what he wanted to do. I think his father knew what was going to happen. Anybody think that? I think his father knew. You know, as a parent, I don't know, our children sometimes get rose-colored glasses. Amen. And our grandchildren do the same thing. They get rose-colored glasses, and everything looks hunky-dory. I got a cousin's name, Dory, amen. We call her Hunky Dory. But people get these rose-colored glasses, and then everything looks so good. And then reality hits. Reality hits. Amen. And sometimes then trouble starts. I think we need to just understand and remember that what God wants us to do is to follow Him and obey Him. And when we sin, and you will remember, when you sin, you remember when you weren't sinning. You will remember what it was like to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. You will remember what it meant to have your devotions daily. You will remember what it meant to pray daily and have a prayer list. You will remember. You get away from all that, and all of a sudden, you'll begin, when you get to this point, you'll begin to remember those things. But what are you going to do about it? He goes back to his dad. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven. Wow. And against thee, or before thee. Here's a thought. When we sin against God and man, we need to confess to God, and we need to confess to man. We need to make it right with both. Because listen, you cannot be right with God and wrong with man at the same time. It can't happen. You might think you're okay, but you cannot be right with God and wrong with man. And then you can't be right with man and wrong with God. It don't work that way. You have to be right with man, and you have to be right with God. And that's where this young man came to, realizing that his sin, realizing what he had done, realizing how he was living, realizing what happened, realizing he wasted everything his father gave him. And now he comes back to him, and he said, I will say unto him, I haven't even got to here. He said, I'm going to, in my mind, he said, here's what I'm going to say to my father, I've sinned against heaven, and Dad, I've sinned against you. If you look with me now to verse 19, he says, and no more. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Because they're doing pretty good. And I know how you take care of our servants. I know what you do for them. So just make me like a hired servant. I'm thinking sometimes maybe that's how we have to come to God. God, just make me a servant. You call me a friend, you call me a brother, make me a servant. Help me to do right, to serve you, and to follow you, and to obey you. And then you get to verse 20, and we see this in verse 20. The Bible said he arose, amen. So we see that he remembered, and number 2, 20 and 21, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now he saw him coming. I don't know how the kid was coming. Maybe the kid was coming with tears in his eyes. I don't know. Maybe he was coming with his head bowed down. I don't know. But his father saw him afar off and saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. He said what he said he was going to say. I've sinned against heaven, and you, I've sinned against you. So he remembered, but here we see this. He was received. Listen, he was received by his father in verse 20. His father fell on his neck. You know, when we have a wayward child and they come back and make things right, we ought to just love them instead of saying, I told you what was going to happen. I told you, I warned you ahead of time, but that's how we are sometimes. But we ought to really, when they come back, repentant, we ought to just give them a hug and love on them and say, I understand, I love you, and you're still my, I got grandkids, I tell them, you're still my grandchild, and I love you no matter what. Amen? I do. Love my grandkids. Can't stand what some of them do sometimes, but I love my grandkids. Amen? So you get the verse, that is that he was received by his father. Then look at verse 21 again with me. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, I like it because what the father said, see, he repents in verse 21. But you get to verse 22 again with me. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Now listen. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. I look at it, I get to thinking about this, that no matter what happens in your life, when you get that right with God, you are still his son. You are still his daughter. He never forsakes you. Never leaves you. No matter what you've done in your life, no matter what's happened, no matter what you think, no matter what goes on, you come repentant to him, he is still there to forgive you. I think we miss that sometimes. I think sometimes we have the idea that I've been so bad that I just can't do right, I can't get things right with God. And that's why some people sometimes, pastor, feel that I need to get saved again. I need to get saved. No, you're saved once. He saved you so much and loves you so much that you just come to him and repent and get those things right, and you're still his child. He will never leave you, never forsake you. What a wonderful thought we have. And then we see that he is reconciled in those verses, reconciled with the Father. And the Father says, bring the fatted calf. Because the boy, he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And I'm going to leave off right there. And we could go on with that older son, amen. Sometimes, pastor, we're hard on the older son. And there's some reasons why we are. But sometimes I'm wondering if maybe we're too hard. I don't know if we can be too hard. I don't know. Maybe that's a sermon for another time, amen. But as we look at this tonight, I want you to understand something. Stay out of the hard lot. You might not be in it physically, but stay out of it spiritually. Let God continue to work in your heart the way he wants to work and do what he wants to do. And we might not find ourselves feeding on the things of the world, but we must find ourselves feeding on the Word of God. Let's be his children doing what's right as a child of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Tonight, maybe, I don't know, as I give the invitation here in a moment, I'm just going to ask you to do this. If the Lord spoke to your heart about anything tonight, I would count a privilege again just to pray for you for a few moments before we give the invitation. Is there anybody tonight with upraised hands saying, Mike, would you pray for me? God bless you, amen. God bless you, God bless you, praise the Lord. God bless you, amen. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Maybe this evening. Maybe to see. I know, I believe everybody here is probably saved. But let's let me ask one more time. Are you sure? Are you sure? If not, you need to come to the Father and repent, and he will accept you just as you are. Amen. Just come to him, repent, and trust him. Anybody like that tonight with an upraised hand say, I'm not sure. Father, I thank you for these that raise their hand. Lord, you know their hearts. Lord, you know their needs. Father, you know their way. You know their walk. You know their wiles, Lord. You know what's going on. You know what's happening. And I pray for them, dear God, tonight, that you have your wonderful way accomplished in their lives, and that you be magnified upon high. God, strengthen them by your grace and your mercy through your Holy Spirit. We pray now and give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand our head with our heads bowed, the feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to slip out and come right now to the altar. front pew, altar, and the stake bearer between you and God.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message tonight. Appreciate again your faithfulness to be here. Let's open our song books and close with a song. 414, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. 414 in our songbooks, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Third verse. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Last verse. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Lord bless you for coming out this week. Lord bless you for being here on a Friday night. Let's dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, love you. thank you for revival. Thank you again for the sacrifices that were made this week. Thank you even for the exhaustion that we feel. Pray, Father, again that you just now bless. Cause again, Father, that you'd hear each prayer whispered from this altar. Hear each prayer whispered again during these revival services. Thank you for your touch on our lives. May we go refreshed and with the zeal of the Lord and with the witness of your only begotten Son on our lips. And we'll praise you for it. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.